my goodness.
Oh, it's another day for a White Witten.
Or is it?
Or a Dwight Witten. Or a Dwight Wedding.
Dwight Wedding.
Billy Otto there, News Radio 840, WHAS, Dave Jennings, and Dwight Witten rolling on through in a beautiful Tuesday, man. Look out that window. Just a perfect day. Labor Day wrapped up, and of course you always hear the saying, don't wear white after Labor Day.
Where did we get that from? I'm sorry,
let's just
say we were at the pool today.
Okay.
Like yesterday on Labor Day, we were at Captain's Quarters, sat outside in the sun all day long. I had a white T-shirt on. I didn't want to wear a black concert T-shirt sitting in the sun. And no one's going to tell me I can't wear my white T-shirt.
Technically, you were safe because it's no white after Labor Day.
Oh, whew.
Yeah, so you know how everywhere I go, people say, look at that guy. Man, he really has it together when it comes to fashion.
That's what I've always thought.
Everywhere I go,
you're really underrated in that department.
Thank you. Well, let me weigh in on this because most style experts agree it is perfectly fine to wear white after Labor Day. So, where did the whole thing come from? Well, it dates back.
Bill Cox.
Bill Cox is where it comes from. Bill Cox made it famous. So did the Emily Post Institute. It dates back to the early 1900s. Now, originally, here's how it came to pass. Originally, the wealthy would leave the town between Memorial Day and Labor Day.
Go to the Hamptons.
To go to their seaside cottages and stuff.
Right.
Where they would wear white. But personal stylist Sarah McDonald says that, you know what? It's okay to wear white whenever you want it. It just doesn't make sense in winter because there's muddy out and there's slush and all that.
Was there always an exception for weddings? Let's say you get married around Thanksgiving time.
Well,
you can't not wear white. Well, I guess you could, depending on the bride.
Some brides absolutely should not wear white.
Yeah.
Susan, your college years. But she did anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think she wore like off-white.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's another good thing. You shouldn't wear white. If you're a bride, go ahead and wear white.
Of course.
But if you're attending the wedding, don't wear white to someone else's wedding, right?
I don't care. I'm not Don Johnson. I'm not wearing a white suit to somebody's wedding, so don't worry about that.
What's wrong with white suits? I tried to buy a white suit.
And a pink crustacean.
Yes. I tried to buy a white suit over the summer, and Susan put her foot down. We have, like, each of us have five put-our-foot-down moments a year cards that we can play.
Okay.
And she put her foot down on that.
How many do you have left?
Me? I have two.
What were the three that you put your foot down on?
Two was a family trip, and I can't remember what the third one was. I'll have to think about
it.
But I've already played three of my five put-my-foot-down cards.
How many has she done? She said Mitch Witten's not coming to the pool.
No, she has.
Too awkward.
She has three left. She has three left.
Okay.
So, one of them was a concert trip that she deemed
Saxton?
Too expensive. It's too expensive for that band. That band's not big enough. I digress.
Who is the band?
I'm not getting into it.
Come on, who's the band?
It pisses me off.
You can't let it hang there.
It pisses me off.
Who's the band?
No, we're not going to talk about
Saxton.
It. No, Saxton's not doing any
Stones.
U.S. dates.
Stones.
Possibly.
Ah. You haven't seen him enough times.
I'm
not piling on.
Here's what. If you're playing the part of Susan, then I'll play the part of me.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them enough. Well, you've seen enough UK football teams enough. You've seen enough UK basketball games enough.
Do I need to break down the cost of a UK ticket versus a Stones ticket?
God, you sound just like her.
It's in Lexington.
It's unbelievable.
It's a 70-mile drive. We don't have to get a hotel.
You're just like her.
And every UK game's different. We lose in different ways every time.
Hey, man, no, that's not cool. You know that by proxy I have to be a UK fan, right?
That's true.
Or, I'm sorry.
You just ignore them.
You know how I hate certain things when you abbreviate and stuff like that?
Right.
She hates when someone adds the in there. U-A-K?
Oh, yes.
UK. She's trained me right. UK. UK.
It's actually U of K if you really wanted to do it right.
Well, not to her. She says University Kentucky.
Okay, well.
Is it University of Kentucky or University of Kentucky?
I think it's University of Kentucky.
I think it's University of Kentucky.
But UK is better than U of K. That is kind of dumb.
U of K. So another place you don't want to wear white to would be, like you just said, weddings. And there's a new trend that's starting. Well, it's not a trend. It's something that's happening because of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people had wedding plans in COVID-19, and then it all
went
down the crapper. That was my down the crapper sound effect. So with it all going down the pipes, they had to reschedule their wedding date. Because of everyone trying to reschedule wedding dates, that put pressure on all the calendars of all the venues to book up twice as quick.
I wonder how many people, before getting married, had to cancel because of COVID, then spent a lot of time together during the lockdown and thought, maybe we need to rethink this whole wedded bliss thing.
Absolutely. I wonder that too. But those that didn't are having trouble finding scheduling the venues that they wanted because these book out years in advance. Some of them do. And now they're doubled up with everyone trying to cram their wedding in that extra year.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, the most popular date so far that people are opting on is September 11th. This Saturday is the 20th anniversary of the attacks on the United States, but it's also a Saturday with a horrible date. I mean, think about how horrible that was, September 11th.
And what's happening, we found it out a few years back when we flew to Florida to see my parents. We flew on September 11th.
Oh.
Got a really good price.
No, listen, man. I'll never forget that date.
Of course
and everything
not.
What happened?
Do you want it to be your anniversary, though?
No.
Also?
Absolutely not.
How much money can you save on the chapel to make that worth it?
No kidding, Dave. Right. So that is what most people are booking up because the only date available.
Is December 7th unavailable?
Pearl Harbor? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I wonder why Pearl Harbor, does time, you know, they say things diminish in time. If you were alive during Pearl Harbor, I would imagine that being just as revolting as a date as September 11th.
Absolutely. But, I mean, now millennials aren't even going to know the date probably. It's probably not even in the history books anymore.
See, here's how much it bothers me. Over the weekend, Susan said, hey, there's a new documentary on Netflix, and it's all about 9/11. And I said, well, okay. So we started watching it.
So you didn't put your foot down on that one?
I didn't put my foot down on that one.
You didn't want to waste a foot stomp.
But we came to the agreement. It's a series. And we came to the agreement after the very first one. This might not be the best one for you to watch, her words to me. And I said, you know what? You're right. Because the entire time, I was yelling. I was pissed off.
Yep.
And then I started reflecting on some of the people that we as a society have elected to office after that devastation. And it blows my mind that after witnessing that with your own eyes and losing Americans, thousands of American mm-hmm. lives, that you would be stupid enough to vote for some of these people that we have put in public office. And I thought, how short are their damn memories? Or do they even care about American lives? But I got so pissed off.
This was a good call on Susan's part.
No, it was a great call. Because actually, it ruined my night. We watched it towards the end, and it ruined my night. And so I said, well, you know what? But that's me.
Thanks for that suggestion, honey.
Yeah, thanks for that suggestion. Hey, I do want to tell you about a great thing that you can do. They'll come out and play golf with us, man. We have the second annual WHAS Golf Scramble. And, man, it's a fun time. When I was up Friday night, I had three different people come up and ask me about it. Yes, spots are still available, but only a few spots are left. So get on this. You don't want to miss it. Great thing about this. It's a Friday. Yeah, baby. It's a Friday golf scramble.
You take Friday off. You have happy hour on the golf course. We'll be driving around in a beer cart, I do believe.
Yes, we will.
One for us, one for you. That's how it works.
Come on out. I promise you, you cannot have a bad time at the WHAS golf scramble. It's Friday, October 1st. Sign up. Get your team. Do it now. WHAS.com.
Speaking of driving.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk is promising
I saw this.
An affordable Tesla.
I saw this.
By 2023, he said it will be $25,000.
There's a scary part coming.
It's missing some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like a steering wheel and gas pedals.
Yes.
It's a Johnny Cab.
That's right.
He wants fully autonomous Teslas at $25,000 by 2023.
That's 2 years away.
We are nowhere near having this a technology that will work. Nowhere close.
But you know what? If we had the technology to do that, I'm all in. Because I think that from what I witnessed, driving to work, let's face it, I don't drive a whole lot of places. I mostly stay home. But when I do, without failure, every single time, there's some idiot looking down at their phone, going 20 miles an hour, swerving over to the side, swerving back, mm-hmm. overcorrecting. I'm ready, because people are too stupid, I'm ready to start getting some of these people off the road.
Because I'm not on my phone, there are countless times that I've avoided situations because of
Me
my
too.
Reaction.
Me too.
I've talked to people that have these little systems that slow your car down. You'll be coming up, there's an overpass, and a semi will go over it, but because of the angle of the car,
yeah.
the car thinks it's in front of you and starts to slam on the brakes while you're on the highway.
Oh, my gosh.
And if that's still happening, we're nowhere near ready for this, Elon. Appreciate you pushing the envelope, but slow your roll.
Yeah, and let's get back to the price. So a Tesla for $25,000, that's certainly a great price on a Tesla, because these things are, what, 7,500 grand, some of them?
Yeah, sure.
But let's talk about regular cars right now in the automotive world. $25,000 is a pretty good deal on a car if it's brand new.
For brand new, yeah.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I don't know if it works or not, but I certainly hope that it does, because I'm about done with it.
Well, you know what's coming then if it works. This song comes to fruition. Where there are autonomous vehicles everywhere, and young Johnny goes to visit his grandpa, I think, and he has a gleaming red Barchetta in his garage.
Can you see him pulling that cloth off?
And you see that red, shiny car with those exhaust pipes and a steering wheel and a stick shift and about 500 horses under the hood.
How do you work this thing?
He knows. He takes it for a drive, Dwight.
We got here Getty in the beginning lyrics real quick, right here.
Uncle. A country place no one knows about. He says it used to be a farm before the motor law. And on Sundays I lose the ice on the turbine frame. Too far outside the wire where my white head on the way.
Ah, the good old red Barchetta.
Yes.
Some rush for you.
And then he ends up what? Stranding the pursuing automated giants at the one-lane bridge.
And that reminds me, that scene where he finds his red Barchetta in this barn, it reminds me of a movie trailer that we just saw a few months back, maybe a year back. I think it was about a year back, where a bunch of kids go in a barn and they pull the sheet off something and
yes.
it's still Ghostbusters Mobile. When is that coming out?
I don't know.
I thought it was going to be summer of 2021.
I don't know. Everything's been pushed back. They keep pushing back the Bond movie.
Yeah, I know. So I guess we'll get to it sooner or later. Speaking of Hollywood, Angelina Jolie is in the news. Find out what she has to say about Brad Pitt.
And Oh, boy.
It ain't good after the news of the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, let's roll some commercials with Rush on News Radio 840 WHAS.
WHAS.
Well, I guess it was back in 63 when eating my cooking got the better of me, so I asked this little girl I was going with to be my wife. Well, she said she would, so I said I do, but I'd have said I wouldn't if I'd have just knew how saying I do was gonna screw up all of my life. Well, the first few years weren't all that bad. I'll never forget the good times we had, cause I'm reminded every month when I send her the child support. Well, it wasn't too long till the lust all died, and I'll admit I wasn't too surprised the day I come home and found my suitcase sitting out on the porch. Well, I tried to get in, she changed the lock. Then I found this note taped on the mailbox that said, "Goodbye, Turkey. My attorney will be in touch." So I decided right then and there I was going to do what's right, give her fair share. But, brother, I didn't know her share was going to be that much. She got the gold mine.
Oh, he got the shaft. Little Jerry Reed there, News Radio 840 WHES. If there is a favorite divorce song, that would be mine.
A little country rap happening there.
That's right. We made the argument on the show one time, did Jerry Reed invent rap? And we used that. I don't know. Okay, so Angelina Jolie, she is divorcing Brad Pitt, and she's open about it in an interview with The Guardian. She says that she didn't consider divorce. She didn't take it lightly. That this has been stewing for, some people are saying 5 years. She's saying no, over a decade. But she's being vocal about it. She unloads on Brad Pitt and said that actually she feared for her entire family's life living with Brad Pitt. And there's child abuse accusations there. She even goes in detail in the interview about what they would fight about. One of the things that they fought about is Angelina Jolie stopped working on a project that Harvey Weinstein was producing, and she alleged that he had assaulted her while working on the film. The name of the film was Playing by Heart. I've never heard of that.
Never heard of that one.
Maybe the project just got shut down. I don't know. But Brad Pitt still chose to work with Harvey Weinstein on a Quentin Tarantino movie called Inglourious Basterds in 2009, and that spewed a gigantic fight between them.
And they stayed together 12 years after that.
Right. This is just one of the many fights that she's airing the dirty laundry. I think that's
If abuse happened, obviously that has to be looked into.
No, absolutely.
But so many times it's like on the way out the door, all this stuff comes out.
Right.
If it's true, obviously look at it. But if not, just get your divorce and move on with your life.
Right. Evidently, even Harvey Weinstein's weighing in on this. And by the way, I thought he was half dead walking into court. Remember the walker and the shades?
It's amazing how that happens.
Yeah, as soon as they get that not guilty or whatever, then it's just, you know,
Bill Cosby's out riding bikes again.
Oh, no. How about that, man? So anyway, in a statement, they asked Harvey Weinstein about it, and he said, "I think it's just clickbait and publicity." He goes on to say that you're Angelina Jolie. Every man and female in the world, I'm sure, shows interest in you. Does that mean the whole world's assaulting you? Well, I'm not much of a Harvey Weinstein fan.
Well, I know. You're not going to find anybody defending him here.
No. Let's stay in Hollywood just for a little bit because Tom Cruise is in there, but not necessarily a great story if Tom Cruise.
Now, is he still a captain of Scientology? I don't think he ever left that place, did he?
No, yeah, he's still with the aliens. But Tom Cruise, while he's filming, because right now he's filming yet another Mission Impossible movie over in the United Kingdom, and he had his car parked out there. His name of his character is Ethan Hunt.
Okay.
And this sounds like something that Mission Impossible Ethan Hunt would have pulled off. According to The Sun, thieves got S-U-N, not S-O-N, The Sun, the publication.
Right.
Thieves got away with Tom Cruise's luxury BMW when he had it parked outside of this grand hotel. Here's what happened. This is the Mission Impossible part of it that's kind of cool. It's a high-tech BMW that has the key fob. You know, my Jeep has this now. Boop, you hit it, and if your keys are in your pocket, that's it.
Yep.
You can go ahead and drive. High-tech crooks reportedly used a scanner to hack the signal from the keyless X7 Beamer ignition fob. So they could even open the door without using their hands.
These are serious criminals.
They are, right? There's some good Mission Impossible type crooks. Well, Tom Cruise is pretty savvy himself, he says. That's why he has his car equipped with a tracking device.
There you go.
So immediately he turns it over to the police, where the police were able to locate Tom Cruise's car. But they got the car, but not the thieves. Oh. The thieves all also got away with thousands of dollars worth of luggage that Cruise had left inside. With thousands of, well, I guess if you're a movie star, your clothes are worth more. I don't know.
Yeah, the shoes aren't $50 shoes.
Yeah. One more Hollywood story real quick. It involves Mark Hamill. Luke Skywalker.
Oh, yes.
Happened on this past Sunday, a Twitter user by the name of Laura, she tweeted, at Hamill himself. That's his Twitter handle. You could just tweet Mark Hamill, and you would get thousands of likes. That's when Mark Hamill said, you know what? And tweeted out, Mark Hamill, and that's it. In just under 48 hours, his tweet got 584,000 likes. But it doesn't stop there. That's when other actors say, you know what? Let me try my name. George Takei.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. He tweeted George Takei, got 45,000 likes. Who is Lance Reddick? Any idea?
Lance Reddick. I have no idea. I know Andy Roddick.
No, Lance Reddick, he did it, and it was 12,000 likes. Then one more, Ken Olin. Any idea who he is?
Nope. Is it Lena Olin's brother?
I have no idea.
All these stories that we get, it'll be like, so-and-so said so-and-so is this. It's like, I don't recognize either of those so-and-so's names.
I don't either. I don't either. Now, this is not a Hollywood story, but it's a certainly a great... This was, in my humble opinion...
Mm-hmm.
The radio duo of Terry Miners and Ron Clay is the gold standard of radio shows.
Hard to argue that.
It simply just does not get better than Terry Miners and Ron Clay. Terry Miners has put out a post that it was 30 years ago today, the passing of radio legend Ron Clay.
That doesn't seem possible.
Right. 30 years ago today. It's just unbelievable. But a big influence on me, as well as Bill Bailey and other locals, and he's still missed today. But what a show that was.
Have another stressful situation involving a wedding for you, Dwight.
Oh, great.
And it makes you wonder what the family was thinking when they even thought about this. So, of course, what do? When you have an issue, you go straight to Reddit. 24-year-old writes in that she's pregnant with baby number one.
Oh!
Who's due the week before Thanksgiving.
Oh!
Her parents live in another country, and her in-laws asked if they could come stay with them close to the due date. The couple said, okay. But she didn't consider the size of the family when they said yes.
Oh, no.
The 24-year-old writes that her husband's parents, six siblings, and a brother-in-law... are all coming to their house. Sounds like Frasier, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The whole family comes over from Scotland or whatever.
Yeah.
Then they're really hoping to stay for Thanksgiving with them after the baby's born. She and her husband thought, I guess that's okay. Family's around to help with the baby and that sort of thing. But they couldn't get time off from work. So now they want to move the Thanksgiving celebration to November 20th or the 21st. She reminded the parents that they can't promise that will work since her due date is actually the 19th. The mother-in-law then came up with the perfect solution.
It's always the mother-in-law.
She said, here's what you do, honey. Have the baby induced on the 12th.
Oh, come on!
Since that works better for the family.
Oh, come on!
So, yes, the in-laws want her to move up the birth of her baby and have it medically induced to accommodate their travel plans.
You gotta be kidding me.
Mother-in-laws.
We got to start doing a Mother-in-Law Monday because we're getting more and more mother-in-laws.
Well, this is like Tuesday's tool number two
here. Right, exactly.
First of all, if you know about 20 people are coming,
yeah,
are you going to want to have people in your house with a newborn?
No.
You just come home from the hospital, and now you've got to entertain people. They all want to hold your baby, and the baby's about, what, 12 hours old?
Right.
I don't think so.
Then you throw COVID in on top of it.
But here's what you do.
Okay.
You induce the baby. A week out. That'll give us time to get there and then help you.
It never ceases. Hey, Friday, October 1st, we want you to join us, man. We're talking about the WHAS second annual golf scramble, and it's a doozy. We went last year. It's an absolute fun time. October weather is perfect, and the teams are starting to stack up. So if you want in, go to WHAS.com. Get your team now because this thing will sell out.
It is not on a Monday.
No!
It is on a Friday. How many times have you had fun on a Monday and go, I wish tomorrow wasn't Tuesday?
Of course.
Because the beer just tastes colder on the golf course.
Yes.
It just does.
Right, and guess who's going to be serving you that beer?
We are.
That's right. Me, Dave, and Tony, we're going to be driving the beer carts, hanging out with you. Terry Miner's going to be there. Tony Cruz. Everybody's going to be out there. Come out, hang out with us. Have a good time. All right, stick around. We're going to wrap up the show here in just a couple of minutes. Dave Jennings, Dwight Whitten, News Radio 840 WHAS.
Remember this one? Recorded at Toad's Place in 1980 from Songs in the Attic, Billy Joel.
Miss those old Billy Joe years.
Oh, yeah.
I just do.